Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. We continue now by talking about the places where Abraham lived as we pick up the narrative of his life in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 26 through 32. And yesterday I introduced you to the first of three locations named Ur of the Chaldeans. Currently, ancient Ur goes by the modern name of Tal al-Mukayar, or Tel al-Mukayar, in modern-day Iraq. Baghdad, a name in Iraq you might recognize, is just over 180 miles, or 300 kilometers away. Ur is not very far from the Persian Gulf, if you are familiar with that body of water. As we come to Ur, where Abraham is from, I want to approach the city from God's perspective. What is it that God sees when he looks down from heaven upon Ur of the Chaldeans in the time of Abraham? And I am sad to report that Holy God, the one true and everlasting God, finds rampant idolatry. The worship of false gods and goddesses again permeates Ur as it did before God sent the flood upon the earth in Genesis chapters 7 and 8. And I want to shed some light into the dark corners of this idolatry because we have hard and fast archaeological evidence to support it. We actually know quite a bit about Ur in the time of Abraham because of an excavation that began there in 1853 and 1854, and again in 1922 through 1934. The British Museum were responsible for both excavations. The first archaeologist was a man by the name of John George Taylor. He served as an official in the British Foreign Office and made many prominent discoveries in the area of the Persian Gulf. He also worked for the now famous British East India Company. He is John George Taylor. His discoveries at Ur are fascinating. For example, he uncovered a ziggurat. What is that? I'll tell you in a few minutes when we get to our second man. Then, with a limited budget, such as a museum has, the British moved away from that site to explore ancient Assyria instead, leaving until 1922, when this second archaeologist we will meet did more work with it. And his name is Leonard Woolley. Or should I say, Sir Leonard Woolley. The excellent and fascinating work that he did at the ruins of Ur greatly advanced the world's knowledge of ancient Mesopotamia. What he uncovered there really will blow your socks off, if you wear socks. If not, what he unearthed may well blow your toes right off. You can read about his finds related to everyday life, architecture, art, government, literature, the royal tombs, really intriguing, and of course religion. I read about all of this in a book he wrote with the title Excavations at Ur, which cost me, wait for it, 99 cents on Kindle from Amazon. The hardcover goes for $251 American dollars, the electronic edition for 99 cents, not even $1. In this way, e-books are the way to go. Plus, I had all Woolley's words downloaded in seconds. Ah, what will the archaeologists of the distant future say of us when they go digging and find our tablets? I recommend his easy-to-read, engrossing book, Excavations at Ur. And remember, Ur is spelled U-R. The first thing I want to point you to in Woolley's work is that he uncovered evidence of the Great Flood previously mentioned. I will quote from him now. I got into the pit once more, examined the sides, and by the time I had written up my notes was quite convinced of what it all meant. but I wanted to see whether others would come to the same conclusion. So I brought up two of my staff and, after pointing out the facts, asked for their explanation. They did not know what to say. My wife came along and looked and was asked the same question, and she turned away, remarking casually, "Well, of course, it's the flood." That was the right answer. He continues, "The flood was for the Sumerian reader the only flood that really mattered, what we call Noah's flood. Both at Ur and on other Mesopotamian sites, there has been found evidence of local and temporary water action occurring at various times in history. Sometimes this was no more than the effect of rain in an enclosed area, and never is there anything approaching what we found in our flood pit. There, it can safely be said, we have proof of an inundation unparalleled in any later period of Mesopotamian history. We were lucky to find it. We have proved that there really was a flood." End quote. There you are, friends. Not long ago, in the 1920s and 30s, archaeologist Sir Leonard Woolley, digging at ancient Ur, finds firm evidence of the flood described in Genesis chapters 7 and 8. As usual, much, much later finds support what the Bible already says is true. This is yet another reason why we trust the Word of God. And that is not the only connection Woolley makes between his hard work at Ur and the Bible. Another exploration he had was into the ziggurat, originally discovered by John George Taylor in the 1853-54 season. Simply put, and borrowing from the dictionary, a ziggurat is an ancient Mesopotamian temple tower consisting of a lofty pyramidal structure built in successive stages with outside staircases and a shrine at the top. By the way, I keep meaning to clarify for you what is Mesopotamia. It is this region where the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers run in modern Iraq, and where ancient Ur and other major cities like Babylon were located. That's a good definition of a ziggurat. And now listen to Sir Woolley describe the one at Ur. I'm going to give you a rather lengthy quote of his. Listen to how impressive in size and structure this ziggurat is, because it will give you an idea of how important the worship of false gods and goddesses were to Abraham, his family, friends, and the people in his neighborhood when the only God encountered and called him. Woolley now. In form, the ziggurat is a stepped pyramid having three stages. The whole thing is solid. The core is of mud brick, and the face is a skin of burnt bricks set in bitumen mortar, about 8 feet thick. The lowest stage, which alone is well preserved, measures at ground level a little more than 200 feet in length by 150 feet in width, and is about 50 feet high. From this rose the upper stages, each smaller than the one below, leaving broad passages along the main sides and wider terraces at either end. On the topmost stage stood the little one-round shrine of the moon god, the most sacred building in Ur, for those whose setting the whole of this vast substructure had been planned. The walls not only slope inwards, but the line from top to bottom is slightly convex. On the ground plan, the wall line from corner to corner of the building has a distinct outward bend, so that sighting along it, one can see only as far as the center. The architect has aimed at an optical illusion, which the Greek builders of the Parthenon at Athens were to achieve many centuries afterwards. The curves being so slight as not to be apparent, yet enough to give the eye an appearance of strength where a straight line might, by contrast, with the mass behind it, have seemed incurved and weak. The employment of such a device does great credit to the builders of the 22nd century before Christ. Indeed, the whole design of the building is a masterpiece. As we proceed, I will talk more about the god and goddess worshipped in the ziggurat. But for today, let's connect this ziggurat with the one built earlier in Genesis chapter 11. Remember yesterday we read about and talked about the Tower of Babel? Well, the Tower of Babel was a ziggurat. Read about it in Genesis 11, verses 2 through 9. Wool Lee makes the connection, again in his book Excavations at Ur, writing, "Thus of the ziggurat of Babylon is identical with that of Ur, though somewhat larger. Its elevation was also the same, so that looking at the ziggurat of Ur, we can visualize the Tower of Babel. And just as the Tower of Babel was remembered in Hebrew legend as a work so colossal as to seem to challenge heaven itself, so the ziggurat of Ur, dominating the city as it did, must have impressed itself on the imagination and the memory of all who dwelt there." Well, who dwelt in Ur? Abraham did. And who looks down from heaven at Ur and sees what to him would be an ugly and wretched ziggurat? Holy God does. So as we come to Ur, let's see it from God's perspective. And we find that sinners do not ever give up. And we are sinners, and we are as persistent in going against God as those people were. We too have our ziggurats and towers like Babel. We have our shrines built to our gods, small g. And we must repent of this sin and turn now to the only God and worship Him all alone. Are you beginning to see how archaeology can help us understand how awesome it is that God rescues Abraham from all this evil? Join us tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.